Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy Pearson. This week on The Believer's Voice of Victory, we are sharing a teaching that Brother Copeland did on Mark and Trina Hankins' TV program. And as they taught on how faith speaks and how faith works and understanding faith's purpose, we knew that this was a word we wanted to also share with you, our partners and friends, on The Believer's Voice of Victory. So let's get started today by joining in and learning about activating the spirit of faith.
We're talking about 2 Corinthians 4:13.
Oh, yes, praise God.
Where the Apostle Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken.
According to what?
According as it is written.
As to what?
I believe, and I've spoken. According to written.
It is written.
Yeah, that's good.
It is written.
Yeah. How did Jesus defeat the devil?
It is written.
It is written. Yeah. And again, it is written.
It is
and
written.
He left him for a better time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to get away from him right now.
We got to get out of here, brother.
Get the devil out.
Yeah, this thing's killing me.
And they will run. Now, the devil will run in fear.
Because of the fundamentals of faith, you have to get rid of phrases like I just used.
Uh-huh.
You must not mix your language. Why do you need the acts of God's enemy with which to express yourself? You do not. Well, I'm afraid not.
Yeah.
You going to the meeting tonight? No, I'm afraid not.
Yeah. Yeah.
My feet are just a-killing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll see y'all later if the train don't hit me.
Yeah.
Listen, that's deadly stuff.
So we're learning the language of faith, which is the spirit of faith.
Trina.
So certain words.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said this, and it was proven out in my life. If you say something long enough for it to get down in your spirit, it'll control your life.
Yeah. Now, you know he said that, Brother Hagin said that in Mark 11, 22, 23, which was revolutionary revelation for me, when he said the Lord told him, did you ever notice Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, verse 23, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. And so that was revolutionary to him. He said the Lord pointed that out to him.
He only used believe one time.
Yeah, he said say three times.
He said three times.
So Dad Hagin said this one time, he said, that means you can actually school yourself into faith with your own words.
But you're going to have to get the death words out.
Yeah, that's right.
The fear words out.
Yeah.
You have to get the sick words out.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of that.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of hearing that. I don't use the word sick.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not part of my vocabulary unless I need it specifically.
Yeah.
I don't use it to express myself.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't use death to express myself.
Yeah.
Now, after a while, when you just stand on the word, it goes away.
Yeah.
Think about the fundamentals. We talked about that.
The language of faith.
And the very fundamentals.
Yeah.
Of course, Vince Lombardo, I guess, arguably the greatest football coach
ever,
had a terrible losing season.
Oh, okay.
Green Bay Packers. He brought those guys back in spring training. He said, gentlemen, this is a football.
Okay, this is a football.
Basics.
That's the way he started.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, this is a football.
Yeah.
Now, a 747, a Boeing 747 would have flown in the Garden of Eden just the same as it'd fly in the 20th and 21st century.
Yeah.
Why? Nobody knew the fundamentals. That had never been revealed. They were there.
Yeah.
In fact, it would have flown better because the air was a whole lot better than it is.
Yeah, I imagine.
But the fundamentals were not known.
Yeah.
And in World War II, I keep going back to the war because the United States was so ill-prepared for this thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they took kids in there that had never seen an airplane.
Wow.
And they had them out there. They started with the very basic fundamentals.
Yeah.
And you have to start at the beginning everywhere on that little airplane. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that is stupid.
Yeah.
The instructor standing out there. Now, one thing he's doing, he is gaining command and authority. Because they don't know anything. He has to think about, I don't care if some of them knew how to fly. No, you start over. Mm. We're going to the fundamentals.
Yes, sir.
And he's got this little Piper Cub, little single engine airplane, little yellow airplane sitting there. He said, all right, what you have before you is an airplane.
Yeah. they're
like, and what you have on the front end of this here airplane is a propeller.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody out there knew that.
Yeah.
And he's starting around. And behind that there propeller is an engine.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that. Yeah. But you're coming around, and this here's the leading edge of the wing. Mm. Ho-hum. But then he comes around and said, this is an aileron. What?
Yeah.
An aileron? What is an aileron?
Yeah.
Well, you'll find out later. Then he comes around, this is the fuselage.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like the body of it to me.
Yeah.
No, it's a fuselage.
Yeah.
And you come back, this is the leading edge of the horizontal stabilizer.
Uh-huh.
Boy, he's just got him out in left field now. And he comes around, this is the rudder.
Yeah.
This is the elevator. The thing got an elevator in it?
Yeah.
It better have, or you ain't going up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
The basic fundamental of that little airplane is basic the same on the Citation 10 that I fly today.
Yeah.
That little airplane did 80 miles an hour, and the Citation 10 will do 600.
Yeah.
But it was the same basic fundamental. It didn't have a propeller.
Uh-huh.
But, oh, wait a minute. Yes, it does. It has a fan front of that jet engine doing the same thing that little propeller did.
Yeah. So the
fundamentals are the same.
Yeah, they're the same. And the spirit of faith, Paul says, we have the same. It also means the spirit of faith works the same in every
situation.
It
works exactly the
same.
Now, here's the part that the Lord energized in my spirit. I have to have, not the spirit of that instructor, I have to believe, since that instructor knows how to fly and I don't, I have to depend on every word he says.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I learn what he knows, then it'll keep me from sticking that thing up like a dart somewhere.
Yeah.
Banging it into the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to follow those same rules as long as I fly. I can't decide that I know more. I never will forget it.
Yeah.
When we began to fly that four-engine Jetstar, and we're in... And I thought, a four-engine jet, what am I going to do with this thing? Man! And he stood up there and he held the flight safety manual here. And he put this down.
Uh-huh.
And he picked up the AFM, the manufacturer's manual.
Okay.
He said, if anything in flight safety's training manual disagrees with the manufacturer's manual, then this one has precedence. I thought, I wish preachers knew that.
That's true.
That's...
You don't argue with this one. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are.
Yeah.
You don't argue with this book.
That's forever settled in heaven.
You don't argue with this.
Yeah.
You question and you ask, but this is right.
Yeah.
This is right. Every time, all the time, and we'll be reading this 1,000 years from now, and it'll still have great revelation.
Say the same thing.
Great, and it'll just go on and on. The last thing I want to say about this, why didn't God execute Cain? Murder was not against the law. That's what this is.
So he had mercy on him, basically.
He couldn't do anything else. It was not against the law to do it.
Yeah.
It was wrong.
Yeah.
But it wasn't against the law.
Yeah.
So then he had to form this law book and write it down that it's against the law. What Satan did wasn't against the law. But it is now.
Yeah.
What? We have the law.
Yeah.
And then we have the greatest document ever formed in the language of a man.
Yeah.
The new covenant.
The new covenant.
I tell you, we were doing with Greg Stevens. You know, he's a professor in old covenant survey. And when he opened up his Bible, and right here, when you turn from Malachi over to here, he got this great big arrow that he, just great big arrow. And I said, I got to get me
one. No. This way.
Yeah, we're going this way. Come on. Come on over here. Yeah. Hey, this is in the blood of God. Oh. This is in the blood of God.
Yeah.
This is in the blood of animals, then the blood of a man in circumcision.
Oh, yeah.
Circumcision, one of the biggest words in the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the biggest words in the Bible.
Yeah.
But over here, the blood of God.
The blood covenant through the blood of Jesus.
That word circumcision. Was the key to David's success.
Ah, so when he faced Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. Now, we're still talking about the spirit of faith.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's something that Dad Hagin said about the spirit of faith, and he said about faith, because when he had 7 incurable diseases laying on that bed, and he said, Lord, I do believe. He said, I believe, and if you stood in front of me and said, the problem is I don't believe, I'd say, dear Lord Jesus, that's not the truth, because I do believe. And Jesus said to him, you do believe as far as you know. In other words, the spirit of faith feeds off of the spirit of wisdom and revelation and
that's
the knowledge
good.
Of
knowledge.
God.
Yes, it does.
And so every breakthrough in faith comes from a breakthrough in revelation knowledge.
Yes, it is.
And so
that knowledge that is revealed.
Yeah.
It's
a different kind of knowledge.
Yeah, sense knowledge to me is, well, hand me your book. Now, of course, this agrees with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But now, say this was, a textbook.
Somebody else's book.
Yeah, somebody else's book. And you're reading, and a teacher is standing before the class.
Yeah.
And teaching from a math book or something.
Yeah.
And now you've got a problem. You've got a problem with who wrote the book, and you have a problem with that teacher's revelation of the book, and they're hearing it, and I... you don't think in words, you think in pictures.
Yes, sir, yeah.
So what do you think if I say D-O-G?
Yeah.
What?
Dog.
It could have been depend on God.
Okay.
But you don't know that, and we have to get on the same page here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but if the Spirit of God is the teacher.
All right, now here, yeah. Now, David David knew something about Goliath.
Yes.
That the other guys didn't know it. Oh. They were better soldiers. But David's 17, and that's where the spirit of faith comes from. That quote is when David said, I kill a lion, I kill a bear, and I'm going to kill this uncircumcised Philistine.
Revelation had come to him.
Yeah.
Out there. Early in the morning, late at night, the Lord is my shepherd.
And meditate in the morning.
And meditating on that.
Yeah.
And what you have, this is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he begins to realize, hey, we've got an edge here.
yeah. And so even Psalms 119 is where there's a constant application of I will meditate in your word. I'll meditate.
Yes.
The entrance of your word gives light, gives understanding. Now, Dad Hagin said, the moment the light comes, the faith is there.
It's there.
And so,
the word and the Holy Spirit work so together. It's just one.
Yeah.
So when the word is spoken to you, it's alive and it's powerful.
Yeah.
And it's operative. And David stepped out in that spirit of faith.
And he's spending all of it. He's in total immersion. He's praising and he's worshiping. And
he never thought he could not whip Goliath.
No, he didn't. That never entered his mind.
No, he had complete dominion.
And
he was
his
meditating
faith,
on this
word. Now, Greg Stevens is a he is a bona fide scholar of the first covenant. Now, he asked me, we're taping here just a few days ago. He said, Brother Copeland, what's the difference? How do you quote the 23rd Psalm? I said, the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah, I shall not want.
No. He said, the Jew, the rabbi says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd.
Oh, okay. I do not lack. I shall not want.
That's all you see. Now, why do they say that differently, Mark? They've been studying it for 5,000 years.
And they speak it in their meditation process.
Yes.
So faith works by speaking.
Yes.
So when David faced Goliath, he had to win the war of words before he could win the fight of faith.
Yeah.
Because Goliath is telling the whole army that you're worthless and I'll defeat you. And David's the only one to talk back to Goliath.
Now, you remember when Samuel came in to anoint the king, David wasn't in there.
Yeah.
Well, Eliab's the oldest and the largest. And so he's firstborn. Remember what the Lord said?
Yeah.
I look on the heart.
Ah, that's right.
And then Eliab showed his heart through his mouth when David embarrassed him.
And when David showed up, I mean, you got words flying. You got his older brother telling him, what are you doing here? And then he's got King Saul saying, you're just a kid. You can't face this. And in every case, David talks back. And he says, my God is able to deliver this giant into my hand. Matter of fact, David spoke back to Goliath. And so in those words, he's speaking covenant words. He's speaking words of faith. And he's speaking words that when Goliath said something, David talked back to him.
If you can't find Mark 11, 23 and 24, in David's life, then it's not faith. Because that's what Jesus said. Let's go over there, Mark.
Yeah, let's go over there. Mark 11, 22, 23.
No, over here in 1 Samuel.
Oh, you're going to 1 Samuel 17.
Yeah, I want to point out some things here.
All right, show me.
Let's go back, because we brought up Eliab. Let's talk some things about him. In verse 12... And it points out the fact that Jesse had 8 sons. And 13th verse, the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his three sons battled: Eliab, the firstborn; Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest, so he has to be under 20 or he would have been in the army. Now, the Philistines drew near morning and evening, twice a day for 6 weeks. Twice a day for 6 weeks. I want to point that out again. Twice a day for 6 weeks. You've been listening to COVID-19 twice or three, four times a day, 6 weeks.
All day.
It'll kill you.
Yeah.
It's a narrative to kill you.
Yes.
Those words.
Eyes, mouth, and ears.
Yeah.
Now notice what it, and David was the youngest. So the 18th verse, carry these and receive their report. Find out what they're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Verse 20, David rose up early in the morning and left his sheep with a keeper. Mm-hmm. There's no way he's going to leave that flock of sheep untended.
Yeah.
Pastor, don't you leave that flock unattended.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Don't you dare do it.
Yeah.
Don't you do it. You better preach faith to that flock.
That's right.
And you better do it out in the open. Don't you put it in the back room.
Yeah, that's right. It's good.
Now, there's going to be some tough stuff you're going to have to preach.
Yeah.
And some of them may leave. Well, bless them.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Preach the whole counsel of
but
God.
But preach it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, come on down. Verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled.
Yeah.
They fled from him and were afraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that's come up? Surely to defy Israel he's come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, give him his daughter and his father's house, and he'll be tax-free from then on.
Yeah, yeah.
David said, what?
That sounds good.
Now, let me hear this again.
Yeah. There's some reward.
Now, verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to men, and Eliab's anger was kindled again. Yeah. He embarrassed him.
Yeah.
He got embarrassed. Mm-hmm. He's a coward.
Yeah, he's afraid.
He's afraid of it. So, verse 26.
Yeah.
David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised? He doesn't have a covenant, and I do.
That's right.
How'd he find that out? Singing out there.
Yeah, he learned the covenant.
He learned it. Yeah. He learned it.
He learned the God of the covenant.
Yes, he did.
He was intimate with the Lord.
Yeah.
He worshiped him.
He had no fear in him.
All right, but now here's something about the spirit of faith. That whoever kills this giant is going to take away the reproach.
Oh, that's true.
And he defies the armies of God. So David said, is there not a cause? So the spirit of faith must have a cause or a purpose.
Amen. Amen.
So the Lord said to me, with the spirit of faith, your cause must be greater than your comfort.
Oh, that's
and your
good,
purpose
man.
Must be greater than your pleasure.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In other words, the spirit of faith makes you leave your comfort zone. And David left his comfort zone to face
it. And it just kept working in him.
It's the spirit of faith.
The more he rehearsed it, the bolder he got. So what happened? He gets over there in front of the king.
Yeah.
And so he comes down here. These words which you now, he turned from the and spoke the same manner, and the people heard it. Hey, the king needs to find out about this. Look what happened. Here's a little boy that had entrance into the king, the most powerful man at that time in the world.
Yeah.
It put him, his faith put him before the king.
Wow, that's very powerful.
Got the attention of the king.
So good.
And what did he say? Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.
Yeah.
And then in the 34th verse, he told about, I took that lion's, I took my sheep out of that lion's mouth, and I killed him with my bare hands, and I killed the bear with my bare hands. And that they didn't have any covenant, and neither does that giant, and I'll kill him.
He knew his covenant, and I'm telling you, we're running out of time, but the Lord said to me, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. In the spirit of faith.
The spirit of faith affects every area of your life, and there are two main ingredients to living by faith, that's believing and speaking. In Mark Hankin's book, The Spirit of Faith, you'll discover how to activate the faith of God in you in a more decisive manner. He describes how your attitude, your words, and even your joy play a part in your faith walk. Included in this book are historical and biblical examples of how faith made the difference between life and death or victory and defeat. Charge your faith to be ready for any battle in your life. Know what to do to build your faith before the storm shows up. Be ready with your battle plan of faith to take on any giant and win. Find out what may be stalling out your faith. Don't look back, but look forward to where God is taking you. God gives you the promise of forgiveness and the spirit of faith to open the door to the outpouring of His goodness in your life.
Discover how your faith can change your life. Order your copy of Mark Hankin's book, The Spirit of Faith, for only $9.99 at kcm.org/victory offer. Or when you call 877-615-4267. You can face the challenges in life with confidence because faith is your victory. Let the spirit of faith flow out of your mouth and see things change as you put your faith into action. Offer good for 60 days.
Today we learned that the spirit of faith wins the war of words. And I like what Mark Hankin said at the end of the message, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. In 1 Samuel 17, we saw how David's faith-filled words determined the whole outcome of the war, and we can apply that to the challenges that we face in our lives. We speak God's word. It releases His power to win in any conflict. And you can learn more about this specifically in chapter 7 of Mark Hankin's book, The Spirit of Faith, and this is our offer to you this week. What does the spirit of faith do? It turns defeat into victory. It turns dreams into reality. We encourage you to get this book and learn how to develop your faith and then use it on purpose. We know to put the word into our eyes and ears. We know to let it get down into our hearts. And when we let the faith in our hearts flow out of our mouths, we will see things change around us. And there may be times when you need to take new ground. Well, faith enables you to advance. Faith enables you to break down barriers. Listen, faith is for every area of your life, and it works in every season of your life. This is a great book to get for your faith library. Order your copy today on kcm.org. And KCM's website is a great resource for word-based teaching. There you can watch videos, you can read articles, you can share them with your family and your friends. You can search the site by topic, you can find study tools that will build your faith and strengthen your spirit, man. And Kenneth and Gloria Copeland make kcm.org available to you to help you grow in your walk with the Lord so that you can be victorious in every area of your life. Now remember, you can also follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or subscribe to their YouTube channel. Listen, join us again tomorrow on the broadcast. Brother Copeland, Mark and Trina Hankins will be right back to share more about the spirit of faith and moving mountains with words of victory. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to request your free copy of today's program.